Well, a very happy Easter to you all. We're continuing our journey through Isaiah, and we begin with this Isaiah reading this Easter day of Isaiah 55. And it begins like this: "Come, all you who are thirsty." I don't know whether you've been thirsty for something. I can remember a run I did last year when that ridiculous hot weather and coming back, and I hadn't taken enough water with me. And my body was not happy. It desperately needed water. The thirst in me was really quite powerful. But what it's talking about here is a kind of a thirst that you cannot buy. It's a thirst for something else. And for me, as I reflect on that, what is that thing in life that I perhaps most brings fulfillment to my life? I would probably say love. And today I want to look about what that means to be in love, perhaps not in the way you might imagine. Now, this story of God's love begins a long time ago. About 550 BC, this prophecy in Isaiah was written. And I want to look particularly today at verse 3. You can follow it in your sheets. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53. It says this: "Give ear and come to me. Listen that you might live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." That love promised in 550 BC, a long time ago, found its fulfillment, that ultimate love that is promised here, promised to David, was found on Good Friday. That is the place where God, in love, gave his son. In love with you. God loved you so much, he gave his only son. Because he is in love with you. Because he created you, he gave you his love, and he's in love with you. But what happened on Good Friday was not an act of love. It wasn't even an example of love. Most of us know John 3:16, but I prefer 1 John 3:16. It says this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." You see, Good Friday is the definition of love. This is how we know what love is. Because God says he is love. It's not something God gives us, it's something God is. And Good Friday was the very definition of love, where the God who created us, utterly innocent, gave his life for you. The very definition of love. The definition of being in love. And he had promised this to us in 550. "I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised." Good Friday, that promise was fulfilled. And I do mean fulfilled. Because Christ gave his everything. His love was full, and it was filled to the very top. He gave everything he had, his life, on the cross in AD 33, or thereabouts. That promise of love fulfilled. But it's not any old promise of love. It's a promise for you. Not just the person sitting next to you, but for you. It's the kind of radical promise and radical love which changes all of history. And it has. 1/3 of the world's population to this day calls Jesus Lord because he gave his all for the whole world. Fulfilled, AD 33. Are you fulfilled with God's love that he gave on Good Friday? Because you see, That's not the end of God's story. Good Friday's not the end of it. He didn't just love us on the cross and die for our sins. He didn't just define love. He invited us into it. He invited us into that love. Not just to receive that love, but into it, into himself. God's story became our story. As he gave his life, our life was received. The other part of that verse. Give ear and come to me. It's not that we come so much to receive as we come to God himself, and that's how we receive. And he says, listen that you may live. Life itself is at stake here. The very life of the universe, the creation, the meaning, the purpose of life. I remember longing for purpose and life and meaning, although I probably wouldn't own up to it. I was confused. I thought I would find it in some perfect wife. But I found it in the perfect love of God. And when on Easter day Christ rose from the dead, I had access to that perfect love. But my marriage ends. When I marry somebody, one of the things I say, till death do you part. Death separates, finishes a marriage. It actually ends at that point. There's no marriage in heaven. But this is a love that goes beyond the grave. It's eternal. It's more powerful than death itself. That's how Jesus rose from the dead. He gave perfect love. And perfect love, it says in Revelations, covers over a multitude of sins. That's how it worked. It was more powerful than death itself. This is not some comforting promise for you when you lose a loved one. This is real. This is powerful. This is life itself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you come to God, you have life itself. Life so powerful, it takes you beyond the grave to heaven to be with all eternity. And you are invited to be in love for life. You're invited to be in God's love for life. Eternal life. But it takes, just as marriage does, two to say yes. And indeed, when you're invited in, you become not just the bride that we might know, but the bride of Christ. The church is called the bride of Christ. And at the end of time, we are united with the bridegroom, that's God. This is a picture of love. And when you come into the family of God, you become the bride of Christ. You become the family of God. And this incredible love that goes on between God and his people, God and his bride. It's the kind of love that heals the lies that are spoken to our minds in our childhood, in our life, in our workplace, wherever it is. It's the kind of love that can heal that. When other people break our hearts, God mends them. When life seems hard to bear, God is our strength. That's the kind of love it is. This is not a fluffy kind of love. It's a love that goes to the cross and beyond to life itself. It's the kind of love that brings life and meaning to our workplace, to our marriages, to our children's, to our grandchildren's, to our friendships. It brings life and meaning to everything. And I just didn't get it until I received it from God. I just didn't get Easter until I experienced God's love for myself and came into his church to be part of his bride. And I stay there every week in, week out. But I must choose every day that love. Just as in marriage, you need to choose to be married every day of your life. You need to choose to love. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. And it is with the bride of Christ. We choose to be connected to God and his life and his love every day. And we might do that in prayer. We might do it as we come to church. We might do it as we read God's word. But this is a love story that is more powerful than any other in all of history. Our very lives are transformed by it. And you, this Easter time, are invited into that resurrection power of Christ to be part of it. What the cross began, Easter finished. And you're now invited in to be that bride, into that love story of God. Listen to what Isaiah 55:1 said again. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. All of you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. If there's something in you which thirsts for more in your life, that's it. But listen to that same invitation. Hundreds and hundreds of years later. This was written in about AD 90. It's from the last book in the Bible, Revelation 22:17. It says this. It's almost the same words, but somebody has been added to the invitation. Listen who it is. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. The bride has been added to that invitation to go and invite people to be part of the life itself, that water of life that brings love, the Spirit that brings life and love. So the question is, do you have that love? Do you have that life? Listen to this as I finish. This Easter promise from Isaiah 12. You can see it there. There's so much in this Isaiah passage. It's a shame I couldn't do more. But here's Isaiah at 55:12. Is this you? Have you got that love? Are you that bride? Is this a picture of you? You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. That's a deep inner peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. You become someone new. A new peace, a new love, a new joy, whatever life brings you. Because of the love that was given and fulfilled on Good Friday, but on Easter Day, it was offered to you and I, that we might become the bride of Christ, that nothing in life, but most of all, not even death itself can conquer. We receive that same life, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can be yours today. And you will live differently when you have the Spirit of God inside you. The love that conquers all. Amen.